This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Lisa Beck is one of two new Democratic state representatives here in Northwest Indiana, in Lake County in particular. She's out of Hebron, and of course the other is from out of Northwest Indiana as well. But she and her colleague, Chris Chung, will be going down to the State House to become new state representatives. Lisa is the new state representative in District 19. She beat incumbent Republican Julie Althoff, and she is joining us today to talk about the experience of running against an incumbent as well as winning, and your experiences in Organization Day, which just wrapped up yesterday. Lisa Beck, thanks for joining us here on Regionally Speaking today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, first, let's recap your campaign. Tell us about how things went, as well as about the issues that you brought up during the campaign that got you elected.
Well, we started our campaign we announced October 10th of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I started actually going door-to-door, talking to folks in November of 2017. So I really realized pretty quickly, I had never campaigned for myself before. This is the first time that I ever ran for office. So I probably was a little rushed in the beginning because I had previously campaigned for other people. But what I realized is when you are the candidate, that it's really more important that I listen to people. And so, you know, you asked what were the issues that I campaigned on.
Yeah.
I quickly found out that what people care about mostly is infrastructure, good infrastructure, for many reasons. You know, people talk to me about, you know, that we need good roads, just, you know, not only for safety, but also because we want to attract businesses here. We also talked about people were concerned about the tolls. You know, the toll road right now is, of course, in Northwest Indiana, as well as across the whole north part of the state, but the money isn't necessarily spent here. It's spent all over the state. And I think people are concerned about that, especially when you have the prospect of Klein Avenue being a toll bridge, as well as a toll road, I should say. And there's a study right now being done for I-65 to be a toll road. Most people were really concerned about I-65 only because we don't have a lot of infrastructure, a lot of other fairways that take us that would be comparable to I-65. So we, as living here, would be tolled as well. So that was one of the issues. The next thing was education. I think a lot of people are really concerned about the funding formula for schools. You know, we had in both Hobart and Crown Point a referendum last year. Hobart's, of course, was in the fall of 2017, and Crown Point had theirs in the spring of 2018. I think a lot of people are concerned about, from what they've told me, that, you know, that we make sure we have proper funding. I mean, all the school systems in District 19 are really good schools, and we want to keep them that way. The last thing that people talked to me about was good-paying jobs. There are jobs out there, but I think what folks are looking for is, you know, good-paying jobs. A lot of people are working more than one job in order to provide for their families. So, you know, I think our campaign was really about talking to folks in House District 19 and, you know, finding out what are the things that most people care about.
When you put all this together, all the issues that you put together and had a chance to talk with constituents about here prior to the election. And of course, we know the outcome of the election, that you've now become a state representative in District 19. You had a chance to make a visit to the State House for Organization Day this week. Have you been down to Indianapolis to the State House in the past?
Well, I have been down. I you know, earlier we talked and I had mentioned that last year I went down for the ISTA, Indiana State Teachers Association, had a lobby day. And then I also went down for the American Cancer Association had a lobby day. So the Relay for Life in Crown Point is, I believe, they're rated number two this year.
Uh-huh.
They do a fabulous job, and so I went down with some of those folks. And, yeah, so I got to see what lobby day was like. Prior to that, I think the only time I'd ever been in the State House, if I can remember, was I think when my kids were in elementary school, we went in fourth grade.
Well, you're probably either a chaperone or you're an advisor,
right,
or somebody going down for the tour to the State House. A little different when you have a bunch of young people that you're chaperoning around and making sure that they don't get lost. You can get lost very easily in that big building. So you had at least a passing familiarity with the State House. How was it on Organization Day when you had a chance to go in there and actually realize, this is the place I'm going to be spending an awful lot of my time, certainly in the first 3 or 4 months of the new year coming up?
I think it's pretty awe-inspiring just to be in that room. And, you know, there's a lot of really important people that were there. And I think, you know, people that we read about in the newspaper, you know, where I'm sitting in the room where things that we read about happen. So that was pretty it was pretty amazing. I think that there was, there's a lot of excitement this year, I think, because, as you know, Chris Chung also went down to the State House. He won his election, and Pat Boy is somebody also that's from the region that went down. So I think there's a lot of excitement about us. And then Chris Campbell, who's from West Lafayette, is also going down. And there's a lot of excitement. Hopefully, you know, some of the things that people hear about, you know, we'll get into some issues that will at least make some changes that will be important to people, not only here but across the state, I hope.
Okay. You had a chance, of course, the experience, of course, being sworn into office by the Indiana Supreme Court Chief Justice Loretta Rush, who, of course, was a resident of Munster when she was a child, and had a chance to, of course, grow up in for a while in Northwest Indiana, then finally practice law down in Lafayette and other places too. I understand you had an interesting conversation with Chief Justice Rush when you had a chance to meet her earlier. How did things go on Organization Day?
Well, I actually walked up to her because when she was sworn in, we had the women lawyers from Northwest Indiana. We had an event for her, and it was very well attended. It was a really awesome evening. It was at the Radisson. I don't even remember what year that was, to be honest with you. I'd have to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, the women lawyers, there's other women lawyer groups in the state. Last year, the Chief Justice invited women to her home, the women lawyers to her home in West Lafayette. So at that meeting, she had said, you know, we need to have more women legislators. I knew at that time that I was thinking about running. So I never said anything to her. I mean, this was a room full of a lot of people. But yesterday I did walk up to her and I introduced myself. She said she remembered me. I hope she did. And she said, when I told her that I was recently elected, that I was from Lake County, she said, you know, oh my gosh. And actually I reminded her of being at her house last year. So it was kind of neat. That was pretty neat.
Well, see, you're making the transition here now, obviously, from being a housewife and an attorney as well, to now becoming a state representative. Had a chance to experience Organization Day with a lot of other people in both the Indiana House and the Senate, of course, although you were in the House chambers for most of your time, I'm sure. But what'd you think about the crowds showing up there on Organization Day?
It was pretty amazing. There's a lot of people, a lot of family members and friends, a lot of supporters, you know, I don't think any one campaign or any one candidate got there on their own. So there were a lot of people that were really excited to be there and to see whoever they supported be there. That was pretty amazing. I know there was also a group that was outside protesting about gerrymandering, redistricting reform.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were aware of that. But
oh, yes. In fact, we've had some of the authors of the conversations here on Regionally Speaking talking about the importance for redistricting reform, and among them, Julia Vaughn from Common Cause, who's one of the chief statewide advocate for it. Yeah, she's out there, and I'm sure that they are going to be lobbying very hard in the upcoming session to make sure that lawmakers are aware of the issue, if they're not already aware, and maybe take some action on it, to be sure. We know that one of the important things, probably the most important thing that you'll get to experience in your first session in the General Assembly coming up in January is helping your colleagues figure out and pass a new two-year state budget. That's going to probably be one of the keys of, I'm sure, a very serious contention between Democrats, new ones like yourself, and the veteran lawmakers, including the Republicans and the Democrats that are already in the House. What do you feel about the issues that you're going to face? And a lot of this, I know, will come back to what you've campaigned for, what you'd like to see, if possible, enacted in the next budget for the next 2 years.
Well, yesterday the leader of the House, Brian Bosma, was elected. And, you know, when he gave his speech, one of the things that he mentioned was teacher raises, which I'm sure you know that Senator Eddie Melton has a bill that he hopes to get through that would allow for raises for teachers. They haven't had a raise in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of studies done that show that, you know, we really, teacher pay, and I can't remember exactly because there's been a couple different studies, but they're not making any more money than what they were 10 years ago, which is, not good. So I think that what the leader had said yesterday was that it sounds like he is in favor of that. So that's very exciting. Yeah, and he also talked about having the profession. I think that we've seen so many things with teachers having to use their own money to pay for supplies in the classroom. And there's been, it's difficult to find teachers in today's world because, you know, is teacher pay low, but also the enthusiasm, because some of the changes that have been made have teachers have not been involved in the decision-making process. So there's a lot of folks that maybe were thinking about being teachers or not being teachers or not going into the profession today. So he did mention something about bringing back the respect, of being a teacher. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, was fabulous.
Are there any other issues that the speaker, Bosma, talked about, or you and your other colleagues, new colleagues, and the veterans have talked about here as to what may also come up in the legislative session this time around? You mentioned Senator Melton wanting to help put a measure through that would boost teachers' pay, to be sure. Are there any other measures that you feel that you would like to maybe, if not sponsor, at least you'd like to co-sponsor with your other colleagues?
I think at this point, to be honest with you, I'm not really sure what I'm going to be looking at. I am going to spend a lot of time looking at some of the bills that are being proposed. I from what they told me on December 10th, those will be available. So, at this time, I'm not really sure what I'm going to dig into. But I've also have not been assigned to my committee. What I'm hoping to get on is the Labor Committee.
Mm-hmm.
I also asked to be on a committee for criminal code and courts. Just because of my background, I thought that would be something that would be beneficial. Small business and economic development.
Well, you mentioned a couple of points there. You mentioned the committees that you'd like to be on, labor and involved in economic development. You talked, too, about going back to your campaign topics, talking about wanting to make sure that Northwest Indiana has more jobs, better jobs, and better paying jobs, to be sure. You think that there might be some efforts, if there are any bills that come up in the session, that'll pique your attention?
I'm not aware of anything right now. If I talked to some folks that were related to labor yesterday, that is something that I'm looking into. There was an issue that was brought up, and I think it was in the papers recently, that Indiana is doing very well when it comes to corporate tax. But during the orientation, it was very powerful. We were shown a slide that talked about, Indiana has gotten rid of the inheritance tax, so we no longer have any income from inheritance tax. We also have, since 2012, our corporate tax rate has decreased. So last year, at the end of the year, we actually paid out more in corporate tax refunds than we received in corporate taxes. So I think, this graph showed the corporate tax rate going down to where we're not really, our state is really running off of personal income tax and sales tax. So I think that's a real problem. I think the policy that lowering the corporate tax rate will draw businesses here is just really not enough. I think we need good infrastructure, and we need some of the other quality of life measures that we don't have here.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, Lisa Beck. Now that you're now a state representative elect, but you will become one. You've now been sworn in as one, to be sure. But you get the opportunity now to not only represent your district up here, District 19 here in Lake County, and parts of Porter County as well. When you have this chance to go down to Indianapolis for the legislative session in January, you probably got some other things if you haven't worked out yet that you have to do some housekeeping matters about finding some place to stay when you're down there during the week, during the legislative sessions. You figure you'll be back home, I think, as often as you can, obviously, to meet with people and to be back with the family and take care of business back home in Hebron. But you're also going to have to deal with the business down there when you're at the State House. Have you had a chance to go down and check out places or talk to other people where you might be able to spend some time, at least to get together when you all are down at the State House during the week?
You know what we do have? I'm very happy. Pat Boy, who is also going down, like I said, from Michigan City, I think she and I are going to share a condo.
Oh, great. I've heard that from a lot of people, even from people that you wouldn't necessarily think would have to look for roommates. They will do so because it's a way to keep your expenses low and still be down there when you have to be down there, especially in the winter months in January when it never seems to stop snowing in central Indiana, which we know is the case up here in northwest Indiana, too. So you can't say that you're not familiar with that. And also, too, you have this opportunity, if you haven't already, to experience what traffic in downtown Indianapolis is like. You've had your chance to visit just on occasion before, but knowing that you're going to have the trip down I-65 all the time, at least down until you go down to stay for the week or whatever, what are your thoughts about traveling around the State House and around Indianapolis right now?
I guess I'll just do the best I can.
I think even the veteran lawmakers would tell you that as well too. They have to deal with it too, and there are many state lawmakers I know I've talked to in the past that have said that they're glad they're retiring because they don't have to make that trip down I-65, but they do it knowing that they've enjoyed the trip over time, and it just seems very, very tedious, and that's part of being a responsible citizen legislator, I guess. So you're going to have an opportunity to be experienced in Indianapolis as well as up here in Northwest Indiana. Are you still excited about the prospect of going down to start your first legislative session in January?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely am very excited. I mean, one of the things that the leader suggested yesterday was to read the rules and make sure you have the rules down. So I do plan to spend the next month reading the rules and looking over some of the bills that have already been submitted, and looking for something that's of interest to me based on what I believe our community wants. So, yeah, I'm going to be busy in December, I think.
I think it seems that way too. Well, Lisa Beck, thank you very much for spending some time with us to talk today as you've come back from Indianapolis for Organization Day at the General Assembly and getting ready as the new state representative in District 19 here in Lake County and parts of Porter County, ready to represent your constituents as one of the new Democrats on the roster at the State House. And we appreciate you spending time to talk with us and wish you the best of luck as you're making your trek down I-65 into downtown Indianapolis. And getting yourself accustomed to staying in Indy and as well staying at the State House, too. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Well, thank you, Chris. And like I said, I really appreciate the opportunity for this, but also the opportunity to go down there and to, work for the folks in House District 19.
Lisa Beck, who's the new state representative for District 19 here in Northwest Indiana. You're listening to Originally Speaking on listener-supported Lakeshore Public Radio. We have with us in studio one of the new members of Northwest Indiana's legislative delegation. Chris Jung is a Democrat, and he is going to the State House for his first time in January when the next session begins as representative of District 15, which is, of course, here in Northwest Indiana, in Lake County in particular. And, Chris, thank you for joining us in the studio today here on Regionally Speaking.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
Well, I guess the question comes down to, since you won the election by defeating incumbent House Slager by 82 votes in the final tally, I guess the question is maybe we were marking before our conversation, the question, the answer to the question, what happened, maybe is a question I'm sure that House Slager and his campaign team was asking more than you. But what do you think happened that put you over the top on election night?
Yeah, well, I get too much credit for the victory, honestly. It was a team effort, for sure. We had a lot of great volunteers who I brought out of retirement, a lot of great volunteers who were in high school and college and who put their studies on hold for me. We had a big team that was going out and just talking to their neighbors, listening to them in particular, what they cared about, and letting them know that an election was coming up because so many people don't vote in midterms. And we were very proud of the fact that we got a turnout of about 25,000 voters for this midterm, whereas in the last midterm, there were maybe around 14,000 votes cast. Mm-hmm. So we did get a lot of active new people engaged in the political process, and I think that just ended up putting us over the edge by that 82-vote margin.
Go back, if you will, in the campaign and talk about the issues that you pressed in talking with people, the issues you brought up to them that basically they decided when they went to the ballot box to decide to choose you as the state representative. What were these issues that you now have that you can take with you to Indianapolis?
I think a lot of people were looking for something new to represent them. They were looking for a fresh voice, someone who had fresh ideas and who was able to listen to both sides of the aisle, honestly. We've got a lot of people who are concerned about the direction in terms of the number of young people who are leaving my district and leaving Northwest Indiana and going to the coasts or going to the big cities. We want to be able to capitalize on that, take advantage of the assets that we have in Northwest Indiana, our lakefront and our infrastructure and our transportation and our the size of our population and all these great things, and be able to attract those young people like myself back. And I think what we did so successfully was that so many voting age adults saw in myself their own kid. Honestly, they saw, you know, a lot of their kids have left the region, went to school away, and maybe haven't come back to buy homes or raise families or start businesses. And that's what we've been saying from the very beginning, that those are the things that we want to focus on: attracting young people back, economic development, healthcare, and education.
Have you determined, although maybe not on a scientific basis, but you've determined by talking to enough people, the average age, say, of a voter in District 15, are they older voters typically, and do they in turn, can they identify more with you or with, perhaps you should say, their family members that have left town?
Yeah, so population-wise, in terms of the statistics, my district, District 15, which encompasses Tri-Town as well as portions of Griffith, is on average older than the Indiana population as a whole. We have more elderly and fewer young people than the rest of Indiana. So we saw that in a lot of the voters that were concerned about the brain drain and concerned about the fact that we have a rapidly aging population that needs to be taken care of as well.
And we refer to Tri-Town for folks that may not be familiar with that. How do you define Tri-Town?
Yes, it's Dyer, Schererville, St. John, and then unincorporated St. John Township as well.
Now, you mentioned about the issues that you felt that maybe the younger residents that grew up in the region but left the region for whatever reason it may be, that may or may not want to come back. You're offering them an opportunity that maybe if things go well at the State House, that you have something to help bring them back to the region, back home?
Yes, absolutely. We're looking at ways to bolster the skilled trades, for instance, and bridge the workforce development gap that we know is such a big problem on both sides of the aisle. Legislators know that this is a big problem in the state of Indiana. We have over 85,000 unfilled jobs in the skilled trades. We can't get enough kids who can pass a drug test, who are getting the education that they need in the school system, who are getting skilled up for the workforce of tomorrow. And in fact, this morning I was just at the Construction Advancement Foundation's annual Skilled Trades Day at the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. And you've got over 1,300 kids going into the industrial building at the fairgrounds to do hands-on projects, whether it's bricklaying or electrical work or iron workers or teamsters or plumbing, all of these great high-paying, high-wage jobs that are going to be very much so in need in the future, as well as the fact that they can't be outsourced, which is so important for our global economy and to bolster Indiana's standing in that space. So we can hope that we will definitely put a focus there to attract people into those career fields and to make this a great livable place.
Do you get the impression by talking to people, and certainly we probably got that by going to this event at the fairgrounds, that the opportunities are starting to come back to Northwest Indiana from the time that we've had this mass exodus? That kind of started years ago when the steel mills shifted around.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we are seeing, thankfully, we've had a good macroeconomic factors that are helping our economy grow in Indiana. We know that we're in a position of strength relative to our neighbors in Illinois in terms of our budget, and we also want to make sure that we're investing in the people and making sure that they have the opportunities they deserve to get ahead. And so many of the trades, the journeyman trade, skilled tradesmen that I've talked to at the event today were talking about how they have more applicants than apprenticeships available for them. So it's a good problem to have while the economy is booming, for sure, and we want to sustain that as much as possible.
Are there any other issues that you brought up during the campaign that are you hoping that you can take to Indianapolis to talk with your new colleagues down there at the General Assembly?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, healthcare and education are the two big ones that a lot of people are concerned about. Our public school funding, I think, needs to be reviewed and make sure that not only do we have the accountability to make sure that our tax dollars are going towards the classrooms and are staying in the classrooms, but making sure that certain schools that get failing grades from the Department of Education aren't as entitled to that money. And we saw such an imbalance in the funding formula, particularly with the virtual schools, the online schools on average getting more money per student than Lake Central schools, which was really shocking to a huge portion of my district. This is something that was publicized when the referendum before May was being shopped around, and people were understandably pretty angry about that fact, and they felt like their money wasn't being taken care of. So not only are we going to look at that, but we're going to look at bringing down prescription costs for people. I know the cost of insulin is rising so crazily that a lot of people are feeling really pinched by the high cost of medical care in this country.
We're talking with Chris Chung, who is the new state representative in House District 15, which here is in Lake County. He unseated veteran incumbent House Slager in the November election. Well, you had a chance to join your new colleagues in Indianapolis not long ago for Organization Day, which all lawmakers attend in Indianapolis at the State House as they get ready to open another session in January. What's your impression of the State House? If you haven't been down there before, did you happen to find yourself a bit overwhelmed by not only the size of the building, but how busy the place can be when you get everybody together in one place?
Yeah, it's a fantastic building. I would encourage everyone to take time to visit the seat of their state government in Indianapolis, because it's a beautiful facility with a lot of history and a lot of gravitas there. You can feel the weight of the important decisions that are being made in the state capitol. And I was honestly very heartened to meet a lot of my fellow legislators across the aisle on both sides and understand how much common ground we had with being able to run the state of Indiana. I think so much of the big media coverage, the national media coverage, focuses on how we divide ourselves into camps with the partisan divide, the rural and urban divide, and so on and so forth. But honestly, we see eye to eye on so many issues, I think, as Republicans and Democrats. And I think that's what American politics and our institutions really need right now.
Do you find that since you had a chance to meet with your new colleagues here from Northwest Indiana, that you've had a chance to meet them if you hadn't done so already? You think that there's going to be a kinship, or certainly a new kinship, with the new members that are added to be able to make sure that representatives, that people in Northwest Indiana in particular, are well represented?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we are definitely focused on making sure Northwest Indiana has a seat at the table. All of us from the Northwest Indiana delegation, regardless of party, again, are focused on working across the aisle and making sure we get business done for Hoosiers, honestly. We're not looking to super partisan, or not looking to be obstructionist. We're looking to make sure that we look out for our district's best interests and that we find out a way to work with the other branches of government.
Now that you've had a chance to go down for Organization Day and kind of gotten that experience under your belt, so to speak, I guess we'll talk about the housekeeping issues. I brought these up with the new state representative, Lisa Beck, here not long ago in our conversation. You have to figure out the nuts and bolts of going down to Indianapolis and finding a place to stay for, well, I guess, when this game will be almost 3 months when this coming session begins. It's the longer session because you have a new two-year state budget to work on. First, concerning about this budget, what are your thoughts about what the state of Indiana is going to need to do to be able to keep the operations going and still be able to pay for everything?
Absolutely. The Department of Child Services is one of those top priority items that we saw a lot of media coverage about in the last 2 years or so. We saw with the high-profile departure of Dr. Mary Beth Bonaventura and the issues at DCS remain with the funding gap there, the fact that we foster kids at twice the rate of Illinois despite having half the population of Illinois is a huge issue that a lot of people are feeling. As a court-appointed child advocate for Lake County, I saw these issues with a lot of the funding issues and a lot of the ways that the kids were underserved in this population. So funding DCS and making sure that we pay our caseworkers fair wages so that they can take on good work and make sure that they aren't overworked while providing good outcomes for our kids is a top priority for legislators on both sides of the aisle. And like I said, we're going to try to make sure that we make some accountability around the education funding and making sure that we keep it in our schools for sure.
Now, I have to ask, since you made the trip down to Indianapolis, and maybe you've made many of them before, I don't know, but what's your experience in making the travel down I-65 to get to the center of the state, and in particular to the center of Indianapolis itself?
It can be a little busy. I know I-65 can be tough to navigate on, and especially in the winter months, but you know, I'm going to be prepared for it, and thankfully we can lean on the other members of the delegation up here in case we need to carpool.
Also, too, the question always comes up, and many people have planned this out ahead of time, not only new members, but even veteran members of the legislature have to plan that they'll have to stay in Indianapolis for a few days and during the week and then make it back home to their districts to talk with constituents and take care of family affairs that you have to deal with. Have you made the plans, or are you in the process of making the plans to be able to stay down in Indy if you have to?
Yeah, I'm in the process of looking for a place. I'm looking at some short-term small apartments and couch surfing a little bit, too, so.
Did you find in traveling down to Indianapolis and not only getting accustomed to the traffic flow going into the city, but driving around the city itself, that this kind of adds to the excitement of being a new member of the legislature, that after a while it's going to be very tiring and probably very upsetting, I would imagine, but there's a certain amount of excitement, do you feel, that you face along with the prospects of what you'll be doing when the General Assembly session starts?
Absolutely. I feel the honor and the blessing that I have in this position to represent 65,000 people in my district, and it just wows me every day when I walk into the State House or when I take calls from constituents or meetings with different interest groups. It is just such an honor to be able to represent them and to be able to fight for them and be their voice for the next 2 years. So we're hoping we can sustain that for sure.
What have you mentioned to people back here in the district after the election's over with? Are you finding when you talk with folks at the supermarket, at the shopping center, wherever you happen to be, if they know of you or recognize you, what they have to say?
Yeah, it's funny because we got so much press coverage and after the election because it was so narrow and because there was some drama around a potential recount that ended up not happening. And it just kind of, and my face was in the paper more so than I liked for it to be. But I was very pleased to learn that a lot of people were just excited about someone who looked a lot different from what they typically have on their ballot representing them. So I hope I can do a good job.
Do you feel that you'll have this advantage because you show the diversity in Northwest Indiana to maybe some areas of the state that don't always have that much diversity?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really proud of the fact that I didn't even honestly think about it until after I got in, but I believe I'm the first Asian American legislator, and I'm one of the youngest ones that have been elected. So I'm really pleased by that fact, and I hope we can encourage Asian Americans and the millennials from both sides of the aisle to just get up and run for office and serve their communities.
Well, Chris Jung, thank you very much for spending time with us to talk about the experiences that you had not only here in the region going through the election, but a little ahead of what you're going to face as being a new member of the General Assembly starting in January. Thank you for sharing that with us today.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
This is Regionally Speaking. With us in the studio today, we have another new state representative, Carolyn Jackson. She is in the District 1, which is in Northlake County in the Hammond area. She represents constituents in that area. She defeated Libertarian candidate Donna Dunn in the election earlier this month for the seat, and she's taking over for a veteran, basically former Hammond police officer and longtime veteran lawmaker Linda Lawson. And Carolyn, thank you for joining us in the studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, first off, we'll ask you a few of the same questions that we've asked some of the other new members of the legislative delegation, but we have some other things to add as well, too, because you've kind of put in a new twist to it by having, for our area at least, another member of the state Black Legislative Caucus, if I've got the name
correct.
Of the group correct here. First, tell us a little bit about your campaign, the issues that you are able to focus on and to voice and get the attention of your constituents in the district that basically got you elected to the State House.
Okay. Well, first of all, I pretty much went door to door, and I spoke to people all over the city of Hammond as well as Whiting, and I asked them what were their concerns, because to me, it's not just about what I want or what I think should happen. It's about what they need and what their wants and desires are. And some of the things were to expand the pre-K to kindergarten program. There's only nine, I think, locations throughout the entire state, one here in Northwest Indiana. And as you know, getting an early start for our children is most important to give them the basic foundation that they'll need throughout the years that they're in school. So that was one of the issues. The other one was issues involving seniors. There are a lot of programs that seniors and veterans have had cut in the past couple of years. They would like some of those things reinstated. The other thing is safe neighborhoods. Even though we feel that we're here and things are safe, but a lot of things are changing. A lot of people are being preyed on by not only the fraud, you know, with identity theft and the computer things. You know, we're constantly getting these phone calls constantly, daily, I should say, all day long, trying to solicit information from you and to get access to your credit and things like that. Those are some of the main things that were given me. Another thing was transportation. We've got a lot of people who have mental health issues. There is no place in our area where people can go and get mental health treatment. The location that was once at St. Margaret's Hospital has been moved to Dyer. Mm-hmm. So that's putting a strain on people trying to get there in our community. And as you know, when people who have mental health disorders, when they're not on their medication, what happens is anything can happen. You know, and unfortunately, we don't need that in our community. We need them to be able to ascertain to get to their doctors, to get to their medication, and all the things that they need to help with their better quality of life. So pretty much my campaign to wrap it all up was a better quality of life, because mm-hmm. that encompasses the entire day-to-day living, not just one thing here and there, but it affects everyone within the community.
Would you say that your district, District 1, is made up, as you mentioned earlier, about being made up of sections of Hammond and of Whiting? Do you think that it's being such a concentrated urban area that makes a difference, and that you'll want to make that your difference in the opportunities that you'll have when you go to Indianapolis to be a lawmaker there?
Yes, I do. I think so. And because I'm finding out that there are a lot of other areas throughout the state that are having some of the same similar issues. It's not just germane to Northwest Indiana. I did have the opportunity to talk to other lawmakers within the state, some in the southern part, as well as the middle part of the state. Mm-hmm. And they are experiencing some of the same issues, one of them being transportation. You may be able to take a bus to get to a certain location. However, once you get there, you got to walk another mile or two. And some people are just not in a position physically to do that.
What are some of the issues that you have talked to people about, and maybe in having at least a brief encounter on Organization Day recently to learn what their issues are, what they're like, what their districts might be like? You mentioned just now about the fact that there are still a number of urban districts in other places, Indianapolis to be sure, maybe Evansville, other bigger cities as well, too.
Yes.
Do these issues that you talk about, transportation, do you think that these are issues that you can, if they come up at the legislative session, that you'll be able to at least feel comfortable dealing with? Or are there issues that maybe you've learned in being on the campaign trail that you can eventually translate into bills that you'll be able to introduce?
Yes, those are some of the things are that I just mentioned are some of the issues that were discussed on Organization Day, as well as increase the pay of teachers. You know, teachers haven't had an increase in pay in a while. And we're losing teachers to other states, to other locations, because they don't have sufficient income mm-hmm. in order to continue to work at that particular school that they're at. So what is happening is you're having teachers maybe quitting in the middle of the year, or some schools having some children, I should say, having three or four teachers in a school year. And that's not good for us, nor is it good for them. The other thing is equal pay for women. I understand that there are a lot of women who are doing the same jobs that men are doing. However, they're only making somewhere in the neighborhood of 68% to 70% of what our male counterpart is making. And one more issue that I get beat with every time I talk to certain people, and that's the safe storage of guns. Mm-hmm. We've had quite a few children in the region who were in the care of babysitters, et cetera, who were victims to being shot and killed by guns. Mm-hmm. So that's another big issue.
Did you, when going down for Organization Day, did you have a chance to meet more with some of your new colleagues from Northwest Indiana? Or I'm sure maybe you've had a chance even as early as election night, you had a chance to meet up with some of them.
Yes, actually, you know, it's kind of funny. A lot of them that live up in this area, I have met them at different events throughout the region in the past year, mm-hmm. or a couple of years, and then I've been traveling back and forth to Indianapolis, I'm sorry, since in January. So I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of people because, you know, the past state rep, Linda Lawson, has been so gracious that she has introduced me to so many people. And I feel very comfortable with working with those individuals because a lot of her concerns are the same concerns as mine due to the fact, as you well know, I have a criminal justice background as well. Mm-hmm. So we share a lot of the same concerns. And I have had those concerns not just recently, but over the past 20, 30 years,
right?
Because I had, you know, direct contact with those individuals and people in the community, so I know what their concerns are, and they've been voiced to me.
You are now, as we mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, one of the new members of what is known as the Indiana Black Legislative Caucus. In fact, you're one of the four leadership posts, three of them are being held by Northwest Indiana lawmakers, including yourself.
Yes.
And had a chance to, of course, you've had a chance to meet and work with, I'm sure, with Earl Harris, the representative in East Chicago.
Correct.
And now you have a new colleague as well, too, Gary's. Reagan Hatcher.
Exactly.
And you also picked up, I guess you're off to a legislative start with a new post, I guess, as well as being state representative.
Yes.
Tell us how you ended up getting to become chaplain.
You know what? They asked me, would I be willing to do it? And I said, absolutely. You know, and it was just kind of ironic because I went to in my grammar school, I went to a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, at one time, I thought that I wanted to become a sister. So religion has always been something that I've always been interested in and gone that extra mile to learn as much as possible. And in my church, I do, you know, serve sometime as a lecturer. So it was an easy yes for me.
Do you think that in your role as a state legislator, as well as a member of the Indiana Black Legislative Caucus, that this will make it easier to address some of the issues that your constituents have asked you to look into and to champion for them?
Well, I think it will help. But again, I also believe that in making decisions that's going to affect people, not only do you pray first, but you also keep yourself in the background because you are not the first person, you're not the only person that those issues are going to have an impact on. And I think when you're representing people, you listen to their concerns, you act on their suggestions, and you do the research. And then once you do that, you know you're on the right track. And stay focused on what it is that needs to happen in order to make their life much better.
Now, since you've been making these treks to Indianapolis from Northwest Indiana here, you say since January, for other reasons than
yes.
going down to the General Assembly, do you have things kind of plotted out how you're going to handle making your trek down to Indianapolis for the session in January and ways that you can be able to still catch up with your constituents back home?
Yes, you know, I've always been involved in the community. This is not my first time. I've worked in my community for the past 20 years, almost ever since I lived here. So I pretty much have a list of people whom are expert in certain fields and things like that. And I always attend different community events and things like that. And people call me, they still call me, send me emails, et cetera, and say, what about this? What about that? So I will continue to do that. And one thing that I would also like to do is to have community meetings or town hall meetings, however you want to call it, so that I can hear. You know, it's one thing to send somebody something in an email, but it's more personable when you get a chance to talk to them face to face and see exactly what their issues and concerns are. And those are things that I would like to start and keep going.
Well, Carolyn Jackson, thank you for spending some time with us talking about yourself, about being elected to become a state representative in North Lake County, and the opportunities that you're going to face when you're going down for your first session of the General Assembly in January. And we hope we have a chance to have you back on and talk again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Carolyn Jackson has been elected in District 1 in the House of Representatives. She's taken the seat that was held for many years by Representative Linda Lawson. That's it for Regionally Speaking for today and this week. Thank you to our newly elected state representatives for joining us in the original conversations. And again, here today from House District 1, Carolyn Jackson, from House District 15, Chris Chung, and from House District 19, Lisa Beck. And we'll be back with you with more Regionally Speaking programs into the new year.